Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to take some time this afternoon to look at this passage, and the title for the message is going to be Husbands, Learn Your Wives. Husbands, learn your wives. That's the command here. Husbands, dwell with them, that is, dwell with your wives, according to knowledge or in an understanding way. Like we said, the command here that Peter gives to husbands is that we would dwell with our wives according to knowledge, or that we would dwell with our wives, live with our wives in an understanding way. This is a passage that is no doubt familiar to you. We've talked about it a couple of times as we've thought about marriage and we've thought about the family. The command to understand or to live in an understanding way is a really difficult command. It's hard to understand people sometimes, isn't it? It's a lot easier to announce how much you don't understand someone, isn't it? People do things that just do not make sense. People respond in ways that seem kind of inappropriate and off the wall to you. People have expectations that are nowhere even close to being on the map of what you thought those expectations may be. And when we think about a passage like this, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, or dwell with them in understanding, we really do come to another very high calling. There's a couple of things just right off the bat about this passage. Number one, Peter, or God through Peter, places the burden of initiative upon the husbands to understand their wives. In other words, the passage is not written in such a way where it says, husbands, wait until your wife is ready for you to understand her, and then when she starts talking, listen. Okay? That's not what it says. It says, husbands, you pursue the understanding of your wife. What I've found in as I've done marriage counseling is that one of the most helpful things you can guide or facilitate any two, it doesn't have to be a husband and a wife, any two warring parties in, is in helping them to try to understand where the other one is. Typically, whenever you're in an argument with someone, you're just worried about who's the right one and who's the wrong one. One of the most effective things I've done is after a session and things haven't gone that well, is given the homework assignment of, okay, when we come back next time, the husband, I want you to come back as your wife's lawyer and make the argument as to why your wife's feeling the way she is against you, and where that bitterness is coming from. And then the wife, I want you to come back and show me that kind of understanding as well. And it doesn't help every time, but if they'll actually do it, it can be pretty effective. Because here's how we are as humans by nature. I want you to understand me. Why don't you understand me, right? What I'm thinking and what I'm doing is so logical. What I'm desiring is so logical. My expectations of you are so logical. Why don't you understand me? If you would just listen, right? And the more people listen, the more confused they continue to be. Understanding is take some difficult work. And then I would just say this, and this is again by observation. There's nothing inspired about this outside of the fact that the wives are not commanded to understand their husbands. Men, we're just not good at this stuff. We're just not good at this. We're not good at taking the time. It feels like we're wasting time is one of the reasons why we're not so good at it. Relationship building, understanding, growing, and this sort of a thing feels like we're not really doing anything, when in fact we are. It's just not what how we think about it. I recently heard a really good illustration of just the way this works. There's a a budding romance that's going on, and the guy says this. The guy in excitement says, "I can't believe I finally found somebody who loves everything I love." And then the girl says this, "I don't love everything you love." But she says, "But I do look forward to learning about what you love and why you love it so much." And in my mind, I'm just thinking, ding, 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 Lewis, pay attention. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You don't love what they love, but you can learn why they love what they love. And you can learn about what they love, and then you can take the love part out, and you can learn about what they fear, why they fear, where their insecurities are, why they're insecure, and we'll get some more going on here. But that's kind of the example or the mindset that I'm going for. And again, it points out the cluelessness that we guys can have in this area, and a lot of times the perception that women tend to have. It's no surprise that stereotypically, this is not across the board, but stereotypically, women enjoy more in-depth conversation than guys. Right? When's the last time you've heard the women at the ladies' table talk about the score of the game last night? Probably never, right? They want to talk about what's going on with them and their house and their family and whatever else, something with that moves away from just pure factual information into learning about and understanding. So there's a few ways that this understanding happens. Number one, look in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, we have this passage. "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. One of the ways that we get understanding, that we can gain understanding, is just by listening. Is by listening. And by that, I really don't mean hearing, but I mean actively listening to see what our wives are saying. Have you ever, maybe you've run into this, have you ever found yourself in the cycle of having the same conversation about the same thing and you have the same frustrations because your wife can't see what you're seeing? Here's an example. I was talking to a couple one time and the wife was constantly stressed out about their finances and the husband was constantly stressed out because he couldn't bring her comfort. And then finally he said, "Lewis, I've told her 1,000 times, trust God to provide." And I said, "Well, then what makes you think 1,001 is going to make a difference?" Right? If you said it 1,000 and it didn't work, why would you say it 1,001 and expect there to be a different outcome? Probably not going to be, right? Is that a demonstration of the lack of faith in his wife? It could be. It may be. But it's also a demonstration of how we guys tend to be in just stubborn stupidity of continuing to do the same thing because this ought to work. This ought to work. This ought to work. It's listening, and it's listening beyond just the buzzwords, but it's listening for an understanding of why, how, when. Those kinds of things. Proverbs, if you jump down just a little bit, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15, it says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." So the heart of this prudent man is someone who is collecting knowledge. And the ear, that is, as we're listening to be able to gain specific knowledge about things. And obviously, right now, we're talking about husbands understanding our wives. So if listening is a good key, and there's a good area for us to obtain this, then one of the other tools in our toolbox that's going to be very helpful is just the ability to ask good questions. Just the ability to ask good questions. There's a good book on, it's called The Complete Husband, and it's complete in the sense of what the King James is, maturity, or the mature husband. And it starts out with some form of, don't you wish your wife came with an instruction manual? You know, your car comes with one, or your radio came with one, your iPhone comes with one. Don't you wish your wife came with one? And then he says this, she does. You know where it is? It's in her heart. And it's your job to pull it out. It's your job to figure it out. It's your job to learn your wife. Right? There's no, and where do we get that? It's in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man or woman is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of a man, that's information, plans, counsel it could be a broad term there. And the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. If we were to apply that to husbands knowing your wives, and the little illustration we just gave, then it's the instruction manual for your wife is deep down in her heart. And if we have enough understanding, we can draw it out. You know, one of the things that is pretty amazing, and you've probably found this out to some extent in your life, but there are some people in life that just seem to be odd. And the more you can understand them and the more you get to know them, the more you can appreciate them, right? I don't know if you've ever had that experience. I've had that experience myself, and maybe some of you have had that experience with me. But the more you know someone, the more you get to understand why they do what they do. You can understand what seems to be quirky. Then the more we can appreciate, and obviously the more we can interact with in an understanding way. Look in John 10:14. Here's another exhortation to this. We'll get a little more practical here in a minute. We read this passage earlier this morning. In John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my sheep. Here we see this knowledge, this gnosko knowledge we've talked about over the last several weeks, of this intimate knowledge that Jesus has with his sheep. But there's another thing that he says that we've got to pay attention to, and it's that it's not just that he knows his sheep, but he is known of his sheep. There's a principle that we can get out of this verse, and that is revelation is a prerequisite to relationships. I didn't come up with that, but the principle's there. Revelation, revealing yourself, is a prerequisite. In other words, you can't have a deep relationship with someone whom you are resistant to revealing yourself to. It'll seem forced, it'll seem shallow, it'll seem probably everything that it is. And yet, that revelation, that revealing of ourselves, those conversations that we don't tend to naturally fall into, at least for guys, can be pretty difficult, can't they? But here's the goal, or at least here's the opposite maybe of the goal. You know, in Genesis 2:25, where it says that Adam and Eve they covered themselves because they knew that they were naked, they were ashamed, and they found garments or they found leaves to cover themselves with. Well, part of what they were hiding, part of the shame that they were hiding, was more than just their naked bodies. At least their shame went past their naked bodies. It was their sinfulness. It was things about them that they had become aware of, that they weren't currently aware of, or maybe that wasn't currently true about them. You remember the passage in Ruth we talked about last week, where Naomi says to Ruth, she prays that she would find safety in the house of her husband, that security. that rest that she prays she would find in the house of her husband. Well, you could kind of tie that together with Genesis 2:25. And the goal is that we would know our wives and that our wives would feel secure enough with us, and vice versa. Wives, this goes for you too, that your husbands would feel secure enough with you that we could communicate in an honest, vulnerable way, and that shame would not get in the way, that we could be known, fully known by our wives, and that our wives could be fully known by us, and there not be any harsh criticism, there not be anything that would inhibit that kind of communication. Now, that's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's uncomfortable for me. I don't want you knowing all my deep, dark secrets, right? I don't want you knowing all my vulnerabilities. I don't want you. Those are things that are difficult to talk about. And honestly, those are things that you're not really meant to talk about with everybody. But those are things that have, a lot of times, have effects on other things in our lives. And if we're going to know, if we're going to become one, if we're going to cleave, then we're growing in this communication of vulnerability. Husbands, we're growing and trying to collect knowledge about our wives so that we can live with them in an understanding way. So let's get practical about this. What kinds of things are we supposed to be learning about our wives? If we're going to dwell with them according to knowledge, what would we talk about? Where would we even start? Well, again, Lou Priolo is helpful here in his book on The Complete Husband. He says this: we must learn our wives' needs, wants, interests, goals, dreams, joys, sorrows, fears, problems, thought processes, motivations, feelings, spiritual gifts, tendencies, and temptations to sin. To live with our wives in an understanding way means that we must become a lifetime student of our wife. Well, if this morning's message was overwhelming, that sentence makes this way more overwhelming, doesn't it? That sounds like a lot. It's going to be hard for you to even recall the categories that I just read and that I just mentioned. And the helpful thing, I think, in this whole thought is that this is going to be a lifetime of learning. Right? So it doesn't say learn everything about your wife and be ready for the quiz on Friday. It says dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You pay attention. You ask. You try to pull out of that deep well what you need to know. So here's a few things that could be helpful here. What would you need to know about your wife? Well, how about this? If your wife could change three irritating things about you, what would they be? Do you know? There's a quick way to find out. Ask. Ask. Now, that's not the question we want to ask, is it? Now, it's one thing for me to say that and then for me to say, if you had to take a guess what irritates you about your wife, what would you say? See, a lot of times we assume we know. Now, you may find out, you may know some things about you that do irritate your wife, but the question is, what are the kind of the top three? You know, what's the most irritating thing you do with your wife? Now, why would that information be useful? Because if you knew what it was, you could stop, right? By the way, wives, you might in turn say, well, what are my top three irritations, right? It's not just for husbands. But that's a good question. You're going to live with your wife for the rest of your life. Wouldn't it be nice to know what you do that irritates her on a regular basis? How about this? What are your wife's top three things that you could do for her this week that would remove stress, irritation, or just be a blessing? What are the top three things you could do for your wife this week that would remove some stress, some irritation, or it would just be a blessing? Don't guess. Right? Remember Proverbs 18:13? A man who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame unto him. Don't answer the question until you've asked it and you've listened, right? Now, what's the deal with three? What's the magic number with three? Well, you could put whatever number you want to in there, but, you know, husbands, we can do three things this week, can't we? At least if you have three, you have a few that you could get a handle on. What about this? What current unfinished projects have you been promising to get to that still are not done that are most important to her? What projects around the house? Now, if you guys are like me, you are done with the house. You were done with the house the day you got done with the house, which was a long time ago. Projects need to be done around the house, and I look at that and I think, are you serious? Who would even notice that? I would never notice that. Or things happen, and I try to convince myself that they're not that big a deal. So we had one of those last night. We were moving something, and it was, I don't even know what it's called, but some kind of small buffet kind of something. And it had a mirror on the top with a point, and we weren't paying attention to how high up we were going to go. We were just tired. It was the end of the day, and we were ready to get it out of there. So we bent down and jerked up real quick and punched a big hole in the ceiling and kept going. And I said, don't say a word. Don't mention it to Abby. If she doesn't mention it to me, I'm not doing a thing about it. Let's just keep on rolling. Now, obviously, I've said something since it's on tape now, but she knows about it. But that really was. I said, if she doesn't mention it, that's we're good. Of course, who doesn't see a big hole in the ceiling? But that was my attitude at the time. But here's the reality. If you walk into my office here at the church, it's pretty nice and neat. Okay, it's the way I want it to be. It's where I work. It's where I do my studies. It's where I spend my time to get ready for the messages. And I do care about what that looks like. And I do care about what's there and how it's there and so forth and so on. Well, for our wives, a lot of what they're doing is at the house, right? That's where they do their work. The kitchen is where they're fixing our meals, right? That's where they're spending a majority of their time, or at least a good bit of their time, and that sort of thing is very important to them. And after a couple of years of Abby saying, yeah, this does matter, this does matter, I'm here all day, I'm looking at this all day, it would be helpful if you would fix it or if you would attend to this or that or whatever else. And in the back of my mind, I thought, you know what, I built the daggum house, you do the projects, you do all that. But of course, that's an ungodly, but that's in my mind, I had just written it off. But it's true. If I expect her to be able to do the things that she needs to do at home, and if I expect people to stay out of my office and leave it alone so that it's conducive to what I want to do, then I ought to do what needs to be done to make sure that within my power, Abby is comfortable at home and she has the things to her preference that she needs and that she wants at the house. Now, I told you, this whole thing of dwelling with them according to knowledge, we start getting into things like that, and we would never think of that, would we, husbands? Matter of fact, outside of a sermon on this topic, I'd never even bring it up. Right? I'd want to forget that was even something to talk about. But if it's putting her interest and seeing what's important to her, then that's one thing that has to hit the list. So what projects can we finish or at least work on finishing? Here's one. In what areas does your wife need your help as a parent that you are simply neglecting or unaware of? What areas? Now, it would be a silly question for me to say, what areas do you need to help in as a parent right now that you're unaware of, and you to say, oh, I know, because you're unaware of it, right? You wouldn't know. So that requires a conversation. That's the kind of conversation that goes along with this dwelling with our wives according to knowledge. How can we help them in parenting the children? How about this? Who or what helps your wife relax or have an enjoyable time when she has a day off? Do you know? If she hasn't told you and you haven't asked, you ought to ask. And I'm not assuming that you don't know that. But I like to ask, and I think we ought to if we're going to be accurate. You know what I do know? I think it's crazy. But did you know that I'm not the number one person on Abby's day off that helps her have a good time? Isn't that nuts? Can you believe that? She doesn't know what she's got, does she? So, it's nice to, you know, it's something that we ought to try to find out. Who is it? Why is it? And to help maybe promote that. Here's one a little more. A little deeper maybe, but what are your wife's insecurities? What is she insecure about? And wives, you could figure this out about your husbands as well. We all have them. And then the next question is, how can you help her feel more secure in those areas? Now, notice that as we're talking about these kinds of things, the kind of language that I'm using is not the typical kind of language we use whenever we're talking about what God has called us to do, when we talk about, even when we're thinking about Scripture and those kinds of things, because a lot of what we're talking about here is feelings, right? Perceptions. How does she feel? How does she understand this? What would she this? What would she that? And again, what we're doing here is we're taking a practical shot at 1 Peter 3, along with Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And Philippians 2, 3, and 4, you know, it's don't just look on your own things, but look on the things of others. You can really put some practical teeth to that with these kinds of questions. In other words, how can I put my wife's preference above my own? That's Philippians 2, 4. Well, I can do that by figuring out what she thinks. And I can do that by figuring out what she enjoys and what she would prefer and so forth and so on. And so you can come up with your own questions. You can springboard off of these. But these are the kinds of things that Peter is getting at whenever he's in 1 Peter 3:7. We need to study our wives. We need to know and understand our wives. And if we're going to do that, we need to know how to ask good questions. We need to be quiet and listen. And then we need to observe. We talked about that maybe last time or the time before. You can learn a whole lot just by observing your wife. What motivates her? What motivates your wife? What is she particularly fond of? And we could continue to ask those different kinds of questions. Again, I would just point out, for most of us husbands, including myself, we're not that good at this naturally. And so we have to take some initiative here. And we have to remember the Ephesians 4, 22 through 25 model of growth, where we put off the old man, we're renewed in the spirit of our minds, and we put on the new man. Not because you have to go through every list of the questions that I just rattled off, but because you do in some way, if you're going to be faithful to the Word of God, you do have to become a student of your wife. You do have to pursue an understanding of your wife. And that even goes so far, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. It even goes so far in verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It even goes to the extent of this reality of the way we understand our wives and the way that we treat our wives hindering our prayers. What's the point here? The point is we're talking about a spiritual issue. We're talking about something that shows up in the spiritual realm. And so again, this is not shoveling on you more than you can bear. It's a reminder of, hey, if we're going to be a faithful husband, if we're going to love our wives the way Christ loved the church, and we're going to know how, then we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. If we're going to lead our wives the way that Christ leads the church, and you want to know how to do that, which is through influence, we talked about this morning, then we're going to have to understand our wives. We're going to have to live with them in an understanding way. And then I'll also say this. It's one of those things, I think it was last week whenever we were closing out one of the services, and Brother Steve prayed and said something along the lines of, the more that we love Christ and walk with Christ, the more natural these kinds of things come to us. The more that we practice, the more that we discipline ourselves in what God has called us to do, the more natural these kinds of things become. The more we habitually have meaningful conversations, the more natural they become. So I don't want to assume that you never have a meaningful conversation. But I also wonder if you ever have any meaningful conversations, because honestly, Abby and I have to fight to have a meaningful conversation, because we've got to get Lily here, and we've got to have potty time with David, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and we get them in the bed after supper, and we've got to get cleaned up, and blah, 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 and the routines of the day. And if you don't carve that out, you can go 20, 30, 40 years and never really have any meaningful interaction with your spouse, who you covenanted to cleave to the way Christ cleaves to the church. So it's the intentional pursuit of, again, this is important. This is something God's called me to do, and I want to grow in this area. So there could be more said on that, but that's the short encouragement here that Peter gives us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Husbands, learn your wives. Husbands, learn your wives. You don't have to learn my wife, and I don't have to learn your wife. And thank God we don't have to learn all women, but we do have to learn our wives. Okay, let's pray. Father, we again come to a command like this, and it's intimidating. We wish it were easier. We wish it were more natural. We wish we were more inclined to this sort of thing. There are just folks who do not like to talk, and a lot of times, Lord, I'm one of them. And it's a strain sometimes to be able to move into conversation like this. And so I pray you would give us the grace that we need to bring the conviction that we need that would move us toward obedience in these areas, that we might be a blessing to our wives, and that we also might glorify you in being the husband that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.